Here we have John 3:16. This one always sticks in my head because of a VBS song. John 3:16 said that God so loved the world. Anyway, guess you don't know that one. John 3:16 is one of those verses that everyone, when you ask someone to recite scripture, this might be the only one that they know. And it's one that sort of sticks with us. Confirmation students use it as their confirmation verse. It's one that you might see on a bumper sticker or on a shirt. It's a popular verse, which makes this text even more complex to preach on. But then you parallel that with the story of serpents biting people, and then you're like, what in the world does one have to do with the other? And actually, there is a correlation, right? Because it says it at the beginning of the text, that just like the people were saved, that Jesus will be lifted up. Well, you might recall a few weeks ago when I was talking about that there in Scripture, that there are four different words for love in Scripture. Do you remember that? Let's see if you, let's take a small test and see what you remember. Okay, so what's the first one? Let's talk about, what's the first one? Agape, right? And what's another one? That's the one everyone knows, it's agape. That's why I started with that one. Okay. Sterge, I heard sterge. Yeah. It's a eros, or that's where we get erotica from, the erotic kind of love. And what's the last one? Filio, which means brotherly love, right? That's where Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love, comes from that word. So, in this text, though, that God so loved the world, loved is, guess which one is used? Agape. Because agape is the love that is sacrificial, right? Easier said than done, though. Right? It's much easier to say that you love your neighbor, and much different to say, I'm willing to give my life for my neighbor. That's a completely different thing, right? But that's the kind of love that is spoken about here. The sacrificial love that God had for humanity, for all of humanity. And so I ask you, this kind of love is really something that I think mothers get. Have you ever heard of the mama bear coming out in some mothers? You know, I was just having a conversation with my mother earlier this week about this, and I heard a scientist talk about why mothers are so connected to their children. Well, when you really think about it, you know, I was in my mother's womb for 9 months, and we shared blood, we shared genes, we shared food for 9 months. And when you think about that connection, then of course when the child comes out, it does that relationship doesn't end there. It's like a permanent bond that is made between mother and child, which always baffles me sometimes how those relationships can become so toxic sometimes, and I get it. I know that not every mother's perfect. Mine's not perfect. But I tell you this because I think most of you mothers would get this analogy, that there is a sacrificial kind of love, that if somebody did something to your child, there would be a response, an innate response. You know, my mother's going to kill me for sharing the story. I have never seen my mother strike anyone, except for once. And it was a babysitter. And I don't know if some of you have seen this little gash that's right here on my eyelid. That's from a babysitter who I got a stinger stuck in my eye because I was playing war and I stuck a water gun through a bush and it was a wasp nest. So a stinger got into my eye as I'm trying to flee. And so the babies are going to the house screaming to the babysitter, I got something's in my eye, something's in my eye. And she couldn't find any tweezers, so would you like to guess what she used? A knife. And so the knife, of course, as soon as the tip of the knife touches my face, I immediately jerked, and gash ensued, and blood is going everywhere. And so I was freaking out, and so there's a little bit more to the story, but I locked myself in my room until my mother got home. I hear my mom coming up the drive, and I just look out the window, and all I hear are muffled sounds of, my mom was yelling at this babysitter because there was a pool of blood in the middle of her living room, and she had to explain it. The next thing I know is I'm looking out the window, I see my mom's arm and the babysitter fly back about 3 feet off the porch. Now, I had never seen my mother strike anyone, but her mama bear definitely came out that day. And then, of course, she comes to my room and helps to fix my eye a bit. But the thing is that when it comes between mother and child, and when it comes to the sacrifices that we are willing to make for another, there is something very unique about that relationship. And that is the kind of love, that sacrificial love, that God has for us. And it's not by accident, it is by design. You know, when I was doing my internship in Michigan, my internship supervisor and I, we would read books together. And the book that we were reading, because I was trying to understand the fullness of God's grace. And so we were reading the book, The Crossing Context by John Douglas Hall. And so I just couldn't understand this fullness. And we were having this deep theological debate going back and forth, back and forth. And I was really struggling to understand what happens to those who are not baptized. What happens to those who say they don't believe? What happens? Do they just sort of fall between the cracks? And she said, Rosie, look, we've had this conversation now for 2 hours. So I want you to absorb it this way. Think of it as when you baptize someone, you say, child of God, I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and add these four words, like it or not. And I said, that's it? She said, that's it. It doesn't matter whether they say they believe or not. God knows the heart of every person, whether they are baptized or not, like it or not. That ugly neighbor who constantly steals your newspaper or uses your recycle bin, or that person that cuts you off in traffic and drives you up the wall, that person who you cannot stand when you see them call on the caller ID, you immediately ignore. They too are a child of God, like it or not. And that means that the sacrificial love that God had for each of us as disciples of Christ, everyone is covered by God's grace, like it or not. Now, that's a hard pill to swallow sometimes. Because we all, in our society, what do we do with the people who break the law and don't follow the status quo? We put them aside. We put them in jail. We marginalize them. Well, guess what? As I've said to you before, whenever we draw lines in the sand and say, nope, this is not where God is, Jesus will always be on the other side, like it or not. That's the love, the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, like it or not. It's bigger and wider than we can possibly imagine. And whenever we try to draw a box and say, this is what God is, guess where Jesus will be? He will be outside that box with the marginalized, with the afflicted, with the criticized, with the people who are not the normal people, not the ones that I would sit next to in church. Not the ones who don't smell right today, like it or not. I was still not grasping this concept until I was having a conversation with Betsy, and I was having a conversation with a friend who told me this story. She said her 3-year-old son walked up to her and said, "Mommy, I hate you." And she says, "Well, Benjamin, I'm very sorry you feel that way, but I love you, like it or not." Benjamin goes, no, don't say that. Don't say that. I hate you." And she goes, "Benjamin, I love you, like it or not." No, but I hate you. "That's okay, Benjamin. I love you, like it or not." That is the type of love that we're talking about here. And even though we get in our own heads, we get in our own humanity thinking that there are some who are going to be exempt, that there are some that are just not going to get it, because we have our own judgments in our own mind, we have to remember that God's grace is big enough to cover that, like it or not. We don't need to understand it. We don't have to even wrap our heads around it. We just need to understand that our God is big enough, wide enough to cover it all, like it or not. And that sometimes is bothersome to some of us who think that there is a mold for Lutheranism. And right now, you know that 90%, I'd say 80, I'm going to say 80. I might be off by a little bit. Say about 80% of all ELCA Lutherans are white. Did you know that? Yeah. Does that mean that we don't have African Americans or Hispanics? Well, you know that's not true here, but it was nice to tick the little Hispanic thing on our annual report this past year. You have one Hispanic. My point is this, is that we have a lot of work to do, folks. Like it or not, we are all God's children, all entrusted to be God's hands and feet in this world. Like it or not. And we have to think bigger and wider about who we invite. There may be someone in your circle of friends right now who is waiting for an invitation from you before they come to church. 80% of people that come to church come by invitation. Did you know that? Invitation. And so if you're not asking someone, "Hey, would you like to come to church this Sunday? If you're looking for a church home, why don't you come visit?" Whose job is that? Is it mine? A little bit. It's us as the body of Christ. The body, right? To be God's hands and feet. That's the ELCA tagline. It's not solely my responsibility. And we have to think outside the box when it comes to that invitation and say, "Oh, you know, I shouldn't invite her. She wouldn't fit in with our church. No, I can't give her an invitation. Or no, I couldn't ask him. No, he's just always so busy. He wouldn't come." Like it or not, you never know. And so the invitation sometimes needs to begin with having the faith, the desire to want to share the love and grace that you receive here. God gave it all for us on the cross. And all God asks in return is that we humble ourselves enough to say that God's grace has got this. And I can do all things in Christ who makes it possible. Like it or not, we are all God's children. Like it or not, we are God's hands and feet. And like it or not, we have a great responsibility. And so I encourage you all this Lenten season, in this week 4, as we get closer and closer to Easter, to think about that sacrificial love and what God was willing to give for all of us on the cross. The least that we can do is honor that by being here in this space and giving back to God what God has already given us. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.